All right, let's dive into this, shall we? This case, Playboy Enterprises, Incorporated versus Chuckleberry Publishing, Incorporated from 1996. Well, it might sound like just some old case, but trust me, it's more relevant than you might think.
Yeah, definitely.
We're not just talking about a couple of magazine companies fighting over a name here. We're talking about how old laws adapt to brand new technologies like the internet.
Exactly.
We're going to see how a decision way back in 1981 about a print magazine ended up influencing how we view things like online trademark infringement and the reach of court orders in our digital world.
Right.
So it's a legal time capsule with some surprising lessons for today. So think of this as a deep dive into how a simple magazine name from back in the day ended up impacting the legal issues we face in cyberspace even now.
It's really fascinating to see how a case from before the internet boom could have such a lasting impact.
Yeah, and it shows how the legal system has to adapt and judges have to grapple with these new technologies. Anyway, ready to unpack this.
Absolutely, let's get into it.
Okay, so for starters, the backstory. It all begins in 1967 when a guy named Tatillo starts Playmen magazine in Italy. Polish and Italian, seems pretty straightforward,
Yeah, it
right?
seems like a local thing, no problem there.
But then things get a little tricky in 1979. Tatillo decides he wants to launch an English version of Playmen for the US market, and he teams up with Chuckleberry Publishing to do it.
I see where this is going.
Exactly. This is where Playboy Enterprises, the company behind the iconic Playboy brand, steps in, and they're not too happy about it.
Right, makes sense. They've got a huge brand to protect, and they don't want any confusion in the market.
So what happens? A lawsuit, of course. And in 1981, a US court issues a permanent injunction against Tatillo and Chuckleberry. This injunction was very specific, prohibiting them from using the name Playmen for any English language magazine or anything related in the United States.
Wow, a permanent injunction. That's serious business.
It was. The court's main goal was to prevent confusion with Playboy's trademark, which is protected under the Lanham Act. That 1981 injunction is really the cornerstone of this whole case.
Yeah, it lays down the law, literally.
Okay, so picture this. It's 1996, the internet is becoming a thing, and Tatillo launches Playmen.8e, a website.
Hold on, so even after the injunction, he's still trying to use the Playmen name.
Well, here's the thing. The website is mostly in Italian, but, and this is key, it includes instructions in English on how US users can subscribe.
Oh, I see. So while the site itself might be mostly in Italian, he's providing a way for English speakers, specifically in the US, to access the content. That's pretty clever, or at least he thought so.
And what kind of content are we talking about? Well, you guessed it. Sexually explicit images and other content, pretty much what you'd expect from a magazine with that name. So Playboy argues that this website, even though it's based in Italy, is still a way of distributing Playmen content in the US and violating the 1981 injunction.
So this raises a really interesting legal question. Does a website hosted overseas but accessible in the US actually violate a US court order issued years before the internet even existed in its current form?
Right. I mean, back in 1981, no one was thinking about websites and digital distribution.
Yeah, and should legal restrictions for one kind of media automatically apply to a brand new technology?
Exactly. So this case lands in front of Judge Scheinlin, and her decision in 1996 really hinges on the intention behind the original injunction. Her point is the whole point of that 1981 injunction was to stop any distribution of Playmen content that could reach US consumers and cause trademark confusion.
So she's saying it doesn't really matter whether it's a physical magazine or a website, the intent to distribute Playmen in the US and potentially confuse consumers is still there.
Precisely. And she makes this really clear in one of her statements. She says, and I quote, "Injunctions entered before the recent explosion of computer technology must continue to have meaning." What she's saying is, just because technology changes, legal principles shouldn't become irrelevant.
That's a crucial point. The law needs to be able to adapt to new situations.
Now, the court didn't just stop there. They also looked at how Tatillo was operating his website. It wasn't just a passive website that happened to be accessible in the US. He was actively targeting US users with those English instructions and the subscription process.
So he wasn't just accidentally reaching US audiences. He was making a deliberate effort to get them to subscribe.
And the court made it very clear that simply operating in cyberspace doesn't give you a free pass to ignore US court orders. In fact, Judge Scheinlin says, "Cyberspace is not a safe haven from which Tatillo may flout the court's injunction."
That's a powerful statement. It essentially says the rules still apply online. You can't just hide behind the internet and say, oh, it's a different world, different rules.
Right. And based on all of this, the court finds Totillo in contempt of court. They use the contempt test, which involves showing, one, a clear court order, which we have with the 1981 injunction, two, a clear violation of that order, which the court sees in the website being accessible to U.S. users, and three, a lack of effort to comply with the order.
So he didn't even try to block U.S. users or anything like that.
Exactly. Now, stepping back for a minute, what's really fascinating about this case is how the court had to balance protecting intellectual property rights, in this case, Playboy's trademark, with the borderless nature of the internet. It raises a really important question. How should courts interpret old legal orders when dealing with totally new technologies?
It's a tough question, right? The law often lags behind technology. This case is a good example of the challenges and considerations that come up when trying to apply old rules to a new world.
Absolutely. And this case actually sets some important precedents. First, it shows that injunctions aren't stuck in time. Courts can apply them to new technologies if the original purpose of the injunction is still relevant. So that 1981 order, in a way, became a living document adapting to the digital age.
Like a legal chameleon, changing with the times.
Exactly. Second, it established that even if you're operating outside the U.S., you can still be subject to U.S. law if you're actively targeting U.S. customers online, like offering your website in English or having U.S.-specific payment options.
That makes sense. If you're doing business in the U.S., even online, you need to follow U.S. laws.
The case also emphasizes that protecting your brand online requires being proactive. You can't just sit back and assume everything's fine. Judge Scheinlin actually said, allowing the defendant to distribute its images over the internet would emasculate the injunction.
She's basically saying that letting the infringing activity move online would totally undermine the original court order.
Precisely. So, what does all this mean for you? Well, this deep dive into Playboy v. Chuckleberry shows that the law, especially when it comes to intellectual property, has to be flexible. It has to evolve with technology. This 1996 decision was a big step in saying that the internet is not a legal free-for-all. You still have to respect court orders and trademarks online. It's a great example of how our legal system is grappling with the challenges of a global digital world.
It's definitely food for thought for anyone interested in law, especially in today's rapidly changing technological landscape.
Now, here's something to ponder. If a similar case came up today, with all the advanced technology we have, like geo-blocking and AI-powered content moderation, how do you think the legal arguments and the court's decision might be different?
That's a great question. I guess we'll have to see how the legal landscape continues to adapt, but it's definitely something to think about.
Absolutely. Well, that's all the time we have for today's deep dive. Thanks for joining us.
It was a pleasure. Always great to discuss these fascinating legal issues.
Until next time.
See you then.